opening scripture. I should say scriptures. This is probably the longest opening scripture I've ever brought. Yeah. Acts chapter 3, the first 8 verses. And because this is one of those portions of scripture where you can't just start at the beginning and not read the whole segment of it to glean out of it what the Lord would show us today. And this happened quite soon after the upper room experience, going back in Acts chapter 1 and in chapter 2, and we see Peter and others going out and preaching the gospel with such a much more powerful effect in their ministries, because when Peter was talking to them about they had just crucified their own Messiah, they were really grieved in their hearts and said, what can they do? And Peter said, repent and believe the gospel and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so coming into that, now we see Peter and John, and we have in the book of Acts the accounts of others that received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and how that powerfully not only impacted their lives and changed their lives, but the effects of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them as believers, and the things that began to happen as a result of that. So that's why this whole segment in here, I didn't want to break it, because it's a fascinating account. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to understand the Jewish calendar to understand that. Their day starts at 6 in the morning and goes until 6 in the evening, and then night is from 6 in the evening until 6 the next morning. So the ninth hour on the Jewish calendar is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's just a little tidbit. So that it kind of gives you the time of the day. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He was sat there to ask for money, to ask for support, if you will, because he could never walk. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And out of all of that, there's some really precious treasures for us to gain from this. This man, when it says he was born lame from his mother's womb, he never, in all his years, was ever able to walk. And people had to carry him. And I remember those guys in India, Tom, they brought him out because they too were lame. We don't know if it was from birth or not, but they too were unable to walk, and people brought them out by faith and set them in our midst for us to pray for them. And if you saw the video, one of the book trailers Tom made for me, the one where he says, I'm in the book, and he talked about those two lame men and how the Lord healed them while we were there. And this is a very personal story because of the testimonies and the witness of things that I also have seen happen. But the interesting thing about this is these guys knew where to go. They knew where to bring this man who had needs. They brought him to the house of worship. And what a clue that is for us, and we see people too that are hurting around us. We need to invite them to come to where, or you can pray for them right where they are. But in this case, those who took care of him brought him to the temple because he knew there would be people there that would help minister to his needs. Now the funny thing of it is, though, is he was looking for money. And when Gary gave his testimony at the gas station, I could hardly wait to read the scripture. Money, money I have not, but what I have I give unto you. And he pulls out all his pennies. No, but the man anyway was waiting with an expectation at the temple. And do we also come to our house of worship with an expectation of whatever need we've come here with? We may express it, we may not, and not everybody knows what's going on, but the Lord knows what our needs are. And do we come too with an expectation that whatever that is going to be taken care of by the Lord? So we come down a little bit further. And it says, and he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And that's really important for us to make sure that when we get people's attention, that we give them that which the Spirit has made a deposit inside of us. We give them what the Lord has given us. If it's a word, if it's a prayer, if it's a gift, if it's whatever, to make sure that when we get someone's attention in our dealings with people, that we're not timid. And always remember who gave us, what he's entrusted us with, and who he's put on our heart to share it with. And we don't need to be shy or timid about it, because this was a very rather in-your-face kind of miracle at what happened. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, a lot of times, we're maybe not quite so bold to pray that way, but you know, he didn't pray. Did you notice that? He didn't pray. He didn't pray. He didn't ask the Father to heal him. He said, that which I have, I give unto you. Rise up in the name of Jesus. You see, he took authority. He used dominion. I mean, Peter was a fisherman before. But he had a knowledge, an understanding of the powerful Holy Spirit and what the Spirit was capable of doing if he would just be bold and release it. And what a treasure, what a nifty little thing to grasp onto this morning is every one of us in this room that are born again are filled with the Holy Spirit. And what are we doing? Sometimes we forget and we go and ask God to do stuff, and God said, no, I anointed you, I gifted you, I chose you, I've empowered you, I've enabled you, I've done everything that there is that pertains to your walk for all eternity. Now step out in faith and use it. Use what I've given you. And we read a little bit further. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Did you ever pull anybody out of a wheelchair? Did you ever look at the situation and want to say something like this, but were afraid of it? We're a little bit timid. We're a little bit concerned about what that person might think about that. When he said he lifted him up, I could just imagine today if that happened, that, oh, can't you see I can't walk? And you start thinking like that, start looking in the natural. But this man didn't. And as Peter helped him get up, that man actually took his first step of faith when he allowed himself to be lifted up to where he was standing on his feet. He took a step of faith when he chose to not only believe what he heard, but to receive what he heard. There's a difference between believing and receiving. I use a checkbook for an example. You might believe, because you know me, that I could put X number of dollars in your checking account. But until you write a check, you haven't really received it. You haven't done anything with it. It's just sitting there. And that happens with the Lord a lot. A lot of people say they believe, but they haven't made that decision to take the next step and receive it for them. You have to make God's word personal for you. He's no respecter of persons. So whatever promise fits your need, don't just believe it because it's written. Receive it. Take possession of it. And it's going to work in your life. So this man, having never walked, I found it interesting that he knew how to. Immediately. Look at all the nifty things that happened. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. At that point, he's still standing. He hasn't done anything else. He's standing now. And all of his feet and ankles, can you imagine living into your adult life and you've never walked and you couldn't as a baby and you never did for your whole life, and then all of a sudden now somebody comes along and says, well, I don't have any money for you, but in the name of Jesus, get up. Man, that guy could have copped an attitude, and can't you see, if I do that, I'll lose my Social Security disability? And don't kid yourself, there was a guy that came to this church a long time ago, and he said, I want you to pray for my lungs, but don't pray for my back, because if God heals my back, I'll lose my claim in court. So I said, well, that's going to be an interesting prayer. He would hang like a bat in his harness for his back so that he could file a disability claim. But he didn't want God to heal his back. And so I have to relate this from a real kind of perspective. These are real people, just like you and I, and how the attitude of this man was so remarkable. He probably didn't even know who Peter was. And immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up. Do you know what leaping is? Like that. You know, and having never walked, having never even known how to, he got the how to at the same time. So you never have to worry about the how to. We spend all our time thinking about the how to and says of the him in us, you know. He puts the super in our natural. And together you got what? Supernatural. Amen. That's you. Don't just say, oh, I'm only human. Oh, come on. That's so base. You got to think bigger. You are supernatural now. And you flow in that realm. You have the ability to. You have every endorsement of all of heaven, all that Jesus died for, and the power of the Spirit. There is nothing that we shouldn't be able to release our faith for. So he leaped. And then what did he do? And he stood. And he walked. Having never done that before, probably watched other people walk. Well, I'll give it a try. I mean, how do you try to walk? Either you do or you don't. And this says he did. Think about the last time your foot hurt and how you hobbled around. But you still had already learned to walk. He never did. So there's a lot of things that happened in this very brief encounter. So he walked and he entered into the temple. Walking and leaping and praising God for his miracle. And how it all started with the simplicity of he came and he looked at these guys with an expectation, but what he was expecting was nothing compared to what he got. He was looking for a few pennies in his hat, but look at what he got. And it also tells me to never look at God as anything less than he is. I posted a little thing. Some of you will see it on Facebook when the next time you see it. But whenever I think of God, I think really big. And it's just that we need to, because if we don't realize how big God really is, we are so going to miss so many things that we could have had and should have, and God have every intent of us having them. but because we tend to limit ourselves in the natural and just kind of shut it down before it ever gets to happen. And so last week we talked about waiting on the Lord for the promises and not giving up. And so this is very much connected. It's kind of like another part of our walk is learning to always be expecting, always be looking for God to do the supernatural things in our lives and not putting limitations on Him. And we're the ones that do that. We can't blame the devil for everything. We have to accept and fess up to sometimes we either knowingly, due to a lack of faith, or we really don't believe, we really don't trust that God can handle it, and we try to wing it on our own and get in trouble. There is so much more to this faith walk. And this is just tapping into a little glimpse of a few minutes. Can you imagine how that turned that guy's life around after that? Oh my. Just think about a person who could never walk, and now it's unlimited to what he can do. And it's the same for you. God is unlimited in what he can do. We shouldn't. So, here we are back to walking with God, the large topic we started digging into a couple weekends ago. And some things to be mindful of, be aware of, before we actually got into the teaching. And we talked about walking with God begins with our salvation, where we first have knowledge of Him as our Lord and Savior, and we give Him the reins of our heart. That's really important if we want to walk with the Lord, is to acknowledge His authority over our lives, and to learn to die to pride, learn to die to our feelings, our emotions. Walking with God requires, it's kind of like the theme of the Lent services this year, walking with Christ to the cross. The cross represents death, it represents suffering, it represents isolation. But it also represents a crossroads in every person's life. And so there's a lot of aspects of this that I'm sure are going to come out between this series that we're doing or the ones that we're doing on Wednesday nights, but they all are going to cover this aspect. We're to exercise our God-given authority and power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We looked at that, so I don't want to go back into all of these, but I know that was the weekend of the Church of the Chosen Frozen, and a lot of people stayed home where it was warm and toasty that weekend, and so we kind of started this with not the normal amount of us that would be here that weekend, so I'm just kind of bringing this up to date. And because of that truth about the God-given authority, we must remember that now we carry God's character and the nature and the inner man, the spirit man, and how important that really is, because, like I said in the beginning, where God puts His super into our natural, and we're no longer the natural man, we're the supernatural ones, called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, His anointing, seeking God for our wisdom and discernment, walking in honesty and integrity, because our walk is very important. And sometimes people say, well, I don't care what people think of me, but I'll tell you, when it comes to following Jesus, we better care, because the soul of a person is hanging in the balance whether they're going to entertain the thought of following Christ and they see our lives, and we surely don't want to neglect how our life is a witness to others. If it hadn't have been for my brother-in-law and the walk that changed his life, I don't know where Faith and I would be today. It's an unknown, but a changed life made all the difference in the world to us. When we come to Christ, that people need to see that change. And it's not just that we go to church, it's What kind of things are we speaking now? What kind of things are we a part of? What things do we embrace? What things do we cast aside? Do we put on the new man in Christ? Do we put on the new everything in our lives? And so that's very important. And we're called to walk and live by faith in God's word as the final authority on truth. And that's something that we must never compromise, because God doesn't compromise his word. He doesn't make it politically correct. It doesn't fit very politically well with the spiritual climate of our nation today. But I must say, if there weren't a lot of churches and believers praying, it'd be a whole lot worse than it is. So any time that any of us have to be praying for our nation, now is the time. If we haven't been, then we should be, because there's a lot in the balance now, and our presence, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is going to make a huge difference this year, particularly. And we're to be faithful even in the seemingly small things. Now, this is what I wanted to talk a little bit about this morning as we go further into this. Faithfulness should be something that is really important to each of us, because faithful in small things is not a small thing. Faithfulness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, being faithful. And if you're a gift to the body of Christ, if you're really good at remembering people's birthdays and you send cards, or you're good at making phone calls to bring encouragement to somebody, and you might not think that that's a very big thing. You might never get to go on a missions trip, but every day you wake up and get out of bed, you're already in the mission field. And be faithful. If you have only 10 minutes in the morning for a devotional time, be faithful about that time, and God will honor that time. Whatever you're good at, whatever you're consistent at, be faithful with it. Because Jesus had something to say about faithfulness. I have a whole section on faithfulness that we could probably spend 2 weeks just on the significance of that, because it's a mark of, it's a characteristic of God. And God is referred to as the faithful God. We do a worship song called A Faithful God. And that's his characteristics. Those are one of the things that people know about God, is that he's faithful. And so faithful is important to us. Can people count on you? Do you give your word and then break it? Do you make promises and you can't keep them? Faithful to our word. Faithful is really important. So if you, Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Jesus always deals with the character or the issues of the heart. He never looks so much at the outside of what people see, but he looks to our hearts. And he said his words were spirit and life to those who find them. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." And I just want to stop halfway through that scripture. And the reason being is because how can we expect God to increase in our lives and we're always saying, "Lord, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more," and we're not faithful in that which he's already given us and walking that out in our lives? Because this whole thing sets a balance and it sets a course of life for us. "He that is faithful in the least is also faithful in much." If we can't be good stewards of $10, how can we be good stewards if God would consider blessing you with $1,000? See, it's about stewardship. Faithful is dependable. It's, can God count on us? Can people count on us? Are we are we haphazard and then expect God to keep giving more and more to us? And the key is being faithful with that which we have to start with. And let that be a good starting point. And if we are, then that shows God our character, that if we can be trusted with the least, trust is a really big issue. And it means a lot with God. And it should mean a lot for us as well, because we're born of His Spirit now. We can't neglect that. People know us. And they know that if we tell them something, or they ask us to do something, that we're going to keep our word, we're going to keep our appointments, we're going to do that that we know how to do to make sure that we're faithful about what others have entrusted to us, what others have given us, what others have asked us. We're going to be faithful. I remember so many times going back over the years here at this fellowship. I remember that used to be a junk room in there, and I cleaned it all out and sat in the middle of the floor because there wasn't any furniture. There wasn't a desk, there wasn't a chair, there was nothing in there. And I said, well, it's a place to come and hang out with God. I'll sit on the floor and be content with that and thankful. And it wasn't any time at all. And when Aaron had a program at WGLV, the radio station, and when they moved their broadcasting facilities, they had an old office, a whole office full of furniture that they were looking for a home for it. And Dan Parker called me up and said, Rick, we've got a whole office full of furniture. You have any use for it? Do you know anybody that could use something like that? And I said, oh yeah. Come on up and have a look, see what you think. And I drove up, and that's where all that stuff came from in there. And I just remembered how I said, gee, Lord, I didn't even pray and ask you for any of that. I just sat here and said, I'm just happy to have a place where I can come, and it's a quiet place away from when our kids were little, and they required a lot of our time too, but you just have to get away from the clamor and the noise to spend time with the Lord. And I remember very clearly the Spirit saying, I know you're not perfect, but you're faithful. And that always meant something to me. That there are some times on a Sunday morning I come here just like you, and I have my head filled with so many things going on at the same time. I always bring the word, I'm always prepared, but it doesn't always go to the way Rick prepared. But I want to create a climate that it's always going to go the way God prepared, and I'm going to be faithful about that. If a visitor came in and saw sometimes how we flow, and we're learning to grow and flow in the Spirit, they might think, boy, what an unorganized mess that is, because to the outward person, not discerning by the Spirit what's going on, somebody would really miss that and think, boy, we're really out there. And yet, being faithful to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us, to work in our lives, to cooperate with Him, to take a chance. It's really risky, a whole room full of people, and you raise your hand and you want to speak, and you never know what the person's going to say. But I do it in faith, because I know you and I trust you. You're not just going to talk to beat your lips and hear the wind blow. You got something to say, and it's going to be relevant. It's going to pertain to what's going on in the realm of the Spirit, and it all connects. Being faithful when we come together like this is really precious. We really need to be faithful to one another as brothers and sisters, to make sure that we remember to encourage and not knock down, that we build up and not tear down, that we speak blessings over each other's life. Even a brother who used to go out the door and say, take care, and lovingly over several years, he finally learned that the way you bless somebody is to say, cast your cares. because to take care means to dump you with worry, cares, and concerns. No, God doesn't want to dump worries, cares, and concerns. He told us in His Word to cast our cares. Cast our cares upon Him. So be faithful, even in the little, maybe something small that seems small to others might have been really big in your life. And it can be life-changing. And be faithful in those things. Following up on that, we're to be thankful in everything, but not necessarily for all things. That's huge. There's two verses of Scripture. One says be thankful in all things, and the other says be thankful for all things that come from God. God is not the author of all things, and there are some things that come into our lives that He had nothing to do with. Those things we're not to be thankful for. And we can have a look right here at Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus did a little teaching on the tribute money, or the money that was brought, and what to do with it. Matthew 22. There's a very, very powerful truth revealed here. Matthew 22, starting in verse 15. Starting in verse 15 and down through 21. And Jesus was asking, well, we'll just read it. Never mind what He was asking. We'll read it and you can see it for yourselves. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Him in His talk. Anybody ever do that with you? Try to get you with a gotcha question? Okay. And they sent out unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that You are true, and teachest us the way of God in truth, and neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of man. Tell us therefore, what thinkest Thou? What do you think, Jesus? Is it lawful to give our tax money unto Caesar or not? Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto Him a penny. And He said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto Him, Caesar's. Then said He then unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now right here is a dividing line. It's a very defining line. Caesar represented oppression, bondage, slavery, heavy-handedness. He ruled with an iron fist, and He showed no mercy to the people. That was Caesar. And we know what spirit that represents, don't we? Because now we're believers and the Spirit can give us discernment. If someone is ruling over us or lording over us with an iron hand and bringing persecution and opposition and bondage and treating us unfairly, doing all the wrong things, showing no mercy, no compassion, no kindness, we know what spirit that came from. That represents Caesar. It also, in a higher sense, represents the devil himself. Jesus said, The thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that you have life and have it more abundantly. If there were no difference, Jesus wouldn't have done a lot of teachings like these. And especially John 10:10 about the thief. So we see that we are to make a distinction between the things of the enemy and the things of God. Caesar was not the friend of Israel. He never has been and he never will be. And he's not your friend either. And you need to learn to distinguish, who am I going to give credit to? who am I going to give thanks to? And that's where the Thanksgiving thing comes in, where we are to thank God for all things unto Him. Because you see, you have to read that scripture and giving thanks for all things unto God. But see, God is not the author of all things. We're only to give Him thanks for all things that He does or that He provides. Now, we're to be thankful in everything. We don't thank God for the mess we're in. We thank God for the way out. There's a huge difference. I don't thank God that I might be poor, broke, and disgusted. Poor, busted, and disgusted. No, I'm not going to thank God for that because that's so contrary to His Word. I'm going to thank Him that I'm a tither. And He gave me two promises in His Word. That's the only place in the Bible we're told that we can test God. Put Him to the test. He said, prove me. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, you cannot contain them all. Plus, He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. It's the only place where God said He'd rebuke the devil for you. After you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, that's yours and my responsibility to rebuke him, to keep him in his place under our feet. But those two promises are connected with our tithes and offerings. And I thank God that when it even comes to finances, I've come to look at tithing this way. I can say, how much of my money am I going to give to God? Or I look at it this way, how much of God's money am I going to keep for myself? That's how Rick does it. Because that's what goes through my mind. You see, God owns everything. Everything that He's provided and given to us. He's entrusted them to us. So don't get too possessive. It's good to be good stewards. But don't fall into a state of carelessness where my this and my that. Because you're not going to take it with you, and there's no suitcase allowed in heaven. Even the man who got away with conning Peter and said, all right, you can bring that suitcase in here. But he wanted to know what was in it, and he opened it up and it was full of gold. Peter said, that's crap. We walk on that up here. That's worth nothing. And that's really, that needs to be our attitude in learning to be thankful, learning to be faithful. And it's all part of growing and maturing in our faith, where we start realizing this walk is really big. And how can you do a, If I said, oh, I'll just pick somebody, Sue, next week, bring the next part of this walking with God. What would you bring? How would you grasp the concept of all of that in its fullness? No, we can grasp a small portion of it, and that we can share with each other. But this is a big topic. It comes down to learning to walk as the Spirit of God reveals to us from His Word what He expects of us. And the last one before we actually start this is we're commanded to walk in the unconditional love of the Father, Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. And of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we spent quite a few weeks in. And that's the standard by which every place you see where we're to walk in love and that faith works by love, that's the standard of love that God has established. Not how we feel about it. Not if others treat us right, we'll love them. No, we're to walk in love no matter what. And true love doesn't always say yes. We have to remember that. And younger kids today, they don't understand what no means. It's got to be yes, or they throw a hissy fit. Boy, we paid a visit to our local Walmart yesterday, bringing kids to the toy department. Whew. Man, oh man, I'm telling you, I saw some of these poor younger moms with their kids and so afraid to say no to their kids. the way they were screaming and yelling and getting mad and literally knocking stuff off the shelves and threatening their parents and screaming and embarrassing them. Boy, those kids would have had a nice little walk to the car and a thrashing on their hiney. No way. You got to break that spirit of rebellion and disobedience in your children when they're young, because they're going to grow up and they're going to have no respect for you, and let alone you. How do you think, if they don't respect you, how do you think you can teach them to respect God? This stuff starts young, and it's really important. So next week, we'll see how that goes. We're going to start our teaching from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. That's a preview of next week. That's where we're going to go. This all was just preparation, some things to keep in mind, because I know that you are growing, you are maturing, and your lives reflect it. So it's time to press on, because if we're not challenged, it's very difficult to grow beyond where we are. So we need to be challenged to have a higher goal to attain. So praise the Lord. So today, be faithful, walk in love, walk in faith, and that's a good start. And I'd like to pray for, as always, anyone who wants prayer this morning. Oops, it's afternoon, but I got a word, your roast didn't burn, you're cool.